Praise God. The man didn't find Peter. It says Peter found him. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And Peter found him. Actually, it wasn't Peter. It was Christ in Peter that found him. This man couldn't find Peter. The man couldn't get out of bed. He had no way of finding Peter. Even if he knew Peter was in town, even if he knew who Peter was, even if he had heard anything, he was basically stuck in bed. But God knew he was there. And Christ in Peter found him because God had a special appointment for this man. From the very foundation of the world, God knew what he was going to do with this man at this time. He says, I've got it in my book. It ain't yet. 6 years goes by, 7 years go by, 7 and a half, 8 years goes by, and God is like, ooh, it's come up on my blueberry, blackberry, whatever that berry thing is, I don't know. What is it, Tom? Yeah, iPod, okay, yeah.
It's blueberry.
Blueberry, okay. don't even mess with me. Blackberry. Thank you. God had an appointment with this man. God knew exactly where he was. And God led Peter to this man. We don't know the details, but Peter found him. And God had ordained for him to find this man because God had a purpose in this man's healing. He had a purpose in his paralysis. He had a purpose in his healing. Nothing slips between the fingers of God. He has this world under his control. And God knew that if this man was healed, if this man was healed, this man who had no hope to be healed, this man who had no reason to expect to be healed, this man whom everybody in that town knew had no reason to believe he would ever be healed, that he would simply die and be lifted off his bed and laid in the ground, God knew that if this man was healed, somebody was going to notice. Several people would probably notice. And so he sent Peter. That's kind of like our salvation. We're not truly seeking after God. You know, you hear these churches that are called seeker-sensitive churches. There are no seekers. Scripture says that there is none who seeks after God. God draws us to himself, and God seeks after us, and God reaches down and rescues us. Thank God he does. Thank God he found me. Thank God he sought after me when I was running from God as hard as I could go. Thank God he pursued me. And thank God there is nowhere you can run to outrun the hand of God when he is tracking you down. And this man was lost. But Scripture says when he was found, Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus, the Christ, heals you. Arise and make your bed. And something exploded inside of that man, the life of God. When that power hit his body and that explosion took place inside of his soul, can you imagine in that position? Think of all the people you know that have ever been confined to a wheelchair, paralyzed. There was a man in this church years ago that had not accidentally, it's a long story, he had run his head into a wall and broke his neck and was paralyzed from the waist down and is in a wheelchair to this day. But what if God, in his sovereign purpose, sent Peter to him one day and said to him, Brother, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed. And suddenly that man felt where he had never felt for years, life and energy and power surging through his muscles and in his bones. All of a sudden, that heat and that warmth of God, just like he's on a toaster or something, man, it just comes over him, and all of a sudden, he can feel, he can move. I'm sure it tingled to feel his blood go back through those veins like it hadn't gone through those veins in years. Might even hurt a little bit. So when Peter said, arise, he's like, man, yeah, thank you. I think I better get up and stretch a little bit. I love it. He said, arise and make your bed. What the heck kind of a command is that? Make my bed. probably because he thought he would never see the day when he would make his bed again. I've heard Johnny Todd, Erickson Tata testify she dreams of the day that the Lord would ever allow her to do things like change diapers or do dishes or vacuum filthy carpets or sweep the floor, because what a treasure that would be. What a thrilling adventure that would be to do the things that we count as mundane and common. What an honor and unthinkable privilege, she said, to one day step out of this wheelchair and have the untold privilege of sweeping a floor, cleaning a toilet, vacuuming. And Peter, maybe with just a sense of irony, said, "Aeneas, arise and brother, make your bed." I'll bet that dude jumped to make his bed. I probably said, "Let me make it twice. Let me make it three. I'll make it. I'll mess it up and make it all over again. I don't need this thing anymore." God knew somebody would notice when this man got saved. And I'll bet you, down at the marketplace where people were buying fish and rutabagas and whatever else they ate back in the Middle East, when old paralyzed Aeneas came running down the street on good legs saying, "Hallelujah, Jesus healed me!" And he began shouting and screaming and dancing in the streets, I will bet you somebody noticed. Praise God. I think people probably fell out on the ground. That can't be him. What in the world? I mean, what would you do? Glory to God. God knew someone would notice. And in fact, what do you think the reaction was when they saw Aeneas walking around the marketplace, jumping up and down and carrying on? I'll tell you what they did. They got saved. That's exactly what they did. The whole city got saved. They said, I don't know what happened to this man, but I want some of that. Man, take me to your leader. Praise God. The whole town, not only the whole town, the entire county got saved. It said Lydda and Sharon. Sharon was the fields that surrounded the town of Lydda. The entire county turned to Jesus Christ. That's revival, man. That's what I want to see happen in Queenstown and Centerville, man. I want to see I would be satisfied if my entire neighborhood got saved, frankly. I would love to go over and lay hands on my neighbor who's confined in her wheelchair, see her suddenly leap out of that thing and start walking around blessing God and saying, well, you can take that ramp apart because I don't need that thing anymore. I bet you my entire neighborhood would get saved. Wouldn't you love to see your neighborhood get saved? Praise God, man. Do you think there's any possibility that God would want to do that today? You better believe God wants to do that. God is already, do you know God is already doing that today, especially out on the mission field? I mean, we're kind of spoiled and complacent here in America, but out on the mission field, that's happening. This wonderful commentary on the book of Acts by C. Peter Wagner. I was just so excited when I saw this on the shelf in the Christian bookstore. I'm like, dude, give me that book. Peter Wagner's a wonderful guy. He has a testimony in his commentary on this passage. He says, such a thing actually has happened on occasion in modern days, and one of our hopes is that the frequency will increase considerably as we move forward in world evangelism. He says, in some nations, entire Muslim villages have declared themselves Christian overnight. In the Bioga Valley of Irian Jaya, the entire Yuhunduni people of 4,500 made a joint decision to become Christian and publicly burn their idols. A large commune in mainland China, and I heard about this from another source, a large commune in mainland China declared itself Christian, and the commune became known as Jesus Mountain. Amara townships in the Bolivian Andes have decided to turn to the gospel from one day to the next. Reports have begun to filter out of the Himalaya mountains, telling of former Lama villages that are now Jesus villages, and these are just a few of the contemporary examples. We mentioned the Hebrides Islands in the 1940s. God is doing this. You know, what you have, though, in there is you have very, very knit-together villages. And oftentimes they do things as a community. In America, everybody's, you know, a rugged individual, and we kind of make our own decisions and all. But in those countries, they do everything as a village. And once, you know, if the leader of the village turns to Christ, everybody's like, okay, we're doing it. This is who we're going to serve. This is our God. And so you see that happen out on the mission field. And there's no reason, I mean, you know, we serve the living God. There's no reason that cannot happen in our neighborhoods. I would love to see every house on Dool and Clark Lane, you know, with a cross in the window or something like that. I would love to see them coming down to our church. Why not? There was a time in this church when we had been here for years. We did not have one person from Queenstown as a member of the church. Now we've got several. Praise God. I'm looking forward to the day when we can't fit the people from Queenstown into this church. And I am not ashamed to say that. This is not some pipe dream. I believe that's what God is going to bring about. Praise God.